Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
It's a relatively new word. I'd say probably less than 20 years old, and that's not in and of itself something that should alarm us as Christians. New words get coined all the time. We wouldn't have a lot of our theological terms if we hadn't been willing to step out and coin new terms. But you always have to stop and ask the question, what does this new word mean? Those who are using it, what are they saying when they use this new word? And the new word I'm talking about here, as I say, relatively new, is the word missional. It's, I guess, strictly speaking, an adjective. You could probably use it as an adverb, too. So there are missional churches, and then there are churches that aren't missional. That's how it's usually described. There are missional pastors, and then there are pastors who, I guess, they're not missional. There are missional disciples. And then I guess there are disciples that aren't. Now, see, that's already a distinction being made with this new word missional that we need to explore. And that's what we're going to do for the remainder of this first hour of Issues Etc. On this Friday afternoon, October the 12th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about, and we're actually going to review a book that's very popular with missional leaders and the missional movement, and try and get to a definition of that word and understand it in the context of some sound Reformation theology. Pastor Lucas Woodford, he's a regular guest here on Issues Etc., pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Mayer, Minnesota. He's author of the book Great Commission, Great Confusion, or Great Confession, The Mission of the Holy Christian Church. And he's also written a recent blog post titled, If You're Not Missional. Lucas, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How would someone listening to us, kind of the average parishioner, know if his pastor or his congregation is being pulled into the missional movement?
That's a great question. I suppose some of the identifying markers initially, of course you'd have to dig deeper and see, might be if emphasis, I suppose, at the congregation begins to revolve around and primarily only around what some might say is evangelism, or where the emphasis begins to work around emphasizing what your work for Jesus is all about, as opposed to Jesus' work for you, the work that he has done for you, and primarily the forgiveness of sins for you. So those might be some initial indicators that people might begin looking forward. Again, evangelism is not bad. I don't want to get that rep. Certainly, we want to make sure we're reaching out and sharing the good news. But when the gospel begins being shifted into the idea that the gospel is just getting out and your work for Jesus, then we need to stop and have a conversation.
Okay. Every term, especially the newly coined ones, are usually coined in the context of something else. It's you're either this or that. You're either missional or you're what? What's the foil of this term missional?
Well, that's a great question. It's one of them that I'm trying to really ferret out for folks when I have this conversation, because implied it, if you're not missional, then again, what does that make me? What I've read in some of the literature is you're not being faithful to God's command, to God's call. And that can have some pretty significant consequences if indeed that it would be the charge, that you're not being faithful, that you're not a disciple, you're not a true, authentic disciple. Oh, well, okay, hold on a second here. Is that how the scriptures really talk? And if people begin to start saying that, then I think, again, we have to take a moment, pause, and have a conversation about what do the scriptures really say?
Generally speaking, and this not only applies to the missional movement, but to many others, fads and fancies that have found their way, woven their way into the life of the church, especially our Lutheran congregations, we do have to ask the question about theological origins of these movements. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad, but it is an important question to ask. As far as you can tell, how would you describe the theological origins of the term missional or the missional movement?
Sure. As far as I can tell, it has its origins within the Baptist or non-denominational theological tradition, and it's going to have significant impacts upon how it's received and used, and particularly in the book that I reviewed, how it is employed in the ecclesiology or the desired church structure because of that theological background.
Okay, so let's unpack that just a little bit, and then we'll start talking about the book that you have so carefully reviewed. Someone says, well, just because a Baptist thought of it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. What are your concerns that it has its roots in Baptist or non-denominational theology? What are your general concerns about that theology?
Sure. General concerns, again, and I have some very wonderful Baptist Christian friends, and so I don't want to, again, say, oh, poo-poo on them. In fact, I employ some non-Lutheran other denominations within that blog post. But the reality is the concerns that I would have with that theology is it has a tendency to emphasize the law or works that we have to do over against the unequivocal and clear good news of the gospel of what Christ has done for you and is doing for you and your continued need for that. And so that can play out particularly in our understanding of and theology of worship, where within a Baptist tradition or non-denominational tradition, the emphasis is going to be upon the worshiper and what they are doing, the praise they are giving, the adoration they are giving to God, as opposed to our historic Lutheran understanding of the good gifts of God being given to us through word and sacraments. And so those are some general concerns that it would have about that theological tradition.
So you're essentially saying there, if these are the theological origins of the missional movement, Lutherans who hold to a distinctly careful definition of law and gospel, holding them distinct and carefully distinguishing them from one another, Lutherans who have a sacramental view of both the church and of the church's mission, so to speak, probably should be careful if the missional movement comes knocking at their door.
At a minimum, being careful, I think, is a very good, at least being discerning. Many times we want to use the phrase, well, can we use this and can we then baptize it or make it Lutheran? Okay, let's have that conversation, but what are the pitfalls of, what might be the pitfalls if we go that route? We do need to have that honest, collegial, theological discussion when we begin going down those roads.
Well, you've raised it, so I'm going to ask you what I probably should ask you at the very end, can it be baptized? Not the term, but the movement as it currently exists in the church, can the missional movement be baptized and made Lutheran somehow?
Good question. Here's my reply is, why do Lutherans need to? Because inherent within our theology and practice is already a vibrant theology and practice that is about proclaiming the good news and reaching out to those within our stations, our vocations, in our everyday life. So really, for me, I don't see us needing to go that route. In fact, when we do, we begin speaking past our Lutheran theology, and at least what I've seen so far is sometimes we bring in some foreign theology that is not helpful to who we are as Lutherans and our understanding of the gospel. So my reply would be, why do we need to, I suppose?
So tell us about this book. It's called Shaped by God's Heart, and that would seem a promising title, The Passion and Practices of Missional Churches. Give us a general introduction to this thing.
Sure. What I found, it's a book that I think is the most helpful in articulating the paradigm of what it is to be missional and have churches be missional. And that is, again, to focus on the congregation itself, its ecclesiology, and its church structure that is designed completely to emphasize evangelism or getting their message out. Again, I do not want to disparage at all proclaiming the gospel. I just want to make sure the gospel is clear. So the book continues to go through and trying to unpack What does it mean to be a missional leader? What does it mean to be a missional congregation? And what does it mean to be a missional pastor? Where the sole goal is, again, shaping your congregations so that the message gets out, whatever that message is, that it gets out, and that those people who they get it out to then also become individuals who then get the message out. So that's kind of a general synopsis of the book itself.
Now, the title itself would suggest Passion and Practices, that it's not going to be talking about theology. It's going to be talking about your attitude and about kind of neutral practices that can be changed without any theological impact. Does that prove to be true in this book?
Unfortunately, no. And that was one of the things I really wanted to look at of, okay, if these are just practices, can we do this without having any inherent theology come with it? The reality that I found is no. Again, it did not come across that way, because what they bring to it, and the observation I make, is ultimately it does not seem that there is any theologically neutral practice or theologically neutral ecclesiology that we can come at when we're trying to shape a new paradigm to shape a whole church and move a whole church forward, or at least a congregation. And so in this case, what came to bear was, the Baptist understanding of an emphasis on the law, what Lutherans would call the law, everything that you have to do. And there was relatively very little, if any, authentic gospel, if you will, in there. Here's what Christ has done for you. Now, is it there? Sure. Is it assumed? If it is, my understanding is always that the assumed gospel is the gospel not proclaimed, not preached, not presented. So it's always best just to proclaim what the gospel is right away up front. So that's why, in this case, I did not find that it could be just one on practice.
Pastor Lucas Woodford is our guest. He's author of a book, Great Commission, Great Confusion, or Great Confession, The Mission of the Holy Christian Church. And we're reviewing a book from the missional perspective that's called Shaped by God's Heart. It's Friday afternoon, October the 12th. We'll be right back.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacobi Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A very pregnant homeless woman stood outside a mega church. She was helped by a pro-life activist, but the large church only talked to her about the gospel and nothing else. The second chapter of James has lots to say about faith without acts of kindness. It's useless. It's easy not to want to step out of our comfort zone to offer help. I just returned from Ecuador. One of those days I was rushing from a speaking engagement to a TV studio for an interview. I walked past a woman well into her 80s asking for help. Then I asked myself, what am I doing? I turned around and gave her some money, and others in the group did the same. As Christians, we need to be there to help the helpless, and this includes pregnant women. Get your church involved. And visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for details on how they can get involved.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. We're reviewing a book very popular in the missional movement called Shaped by God's Heart. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Lucas Woodford is our guest. Now, we often say this here on Issues Etc., reminding our listeners that we are a radio program. We're not a ministry. We don't do the ministry. The ministry happens on Sunday morning with you and your fellow parishioners gathered around God's Word and sacraments, and your pastor there faithfully giving you the gifts of God's grace. That's where the ministry happens. That's why our goal here on Issues Etc. is to connect our listeners to faithful congregations who are doing just that. Now, you say, hey, I attend one of those congregations. I know about it, but nobody else does. Here's a way that you can help your congregation be better known through the outreach of Issues Etc. It's called the Issues Etc. 300. These are congregations that have committed to the support of Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. Time is of the essence. If you're ready to ask your congregation to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, because your congregation may well be planning the budget right now and making that decision before the end of the year, go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find a one-page flyer there that's all about the Issues Etc. 300, and you can use it to make that request to your congregation that they join the Issues Etc. 300. Thanks for doing so. Pastor Woodford, let's talk a bit about some of the particulars of this book, and beginning with, you say, an examples of the confusion of law and gospel that you mentioned before the break. What can you give us some particular examples of that?
Sure. Well, when I talk about confusions of law and gospel, it's the idea that if a law is given saying you have to do this and this is what you have to do, and then declaring that is what the gospel is, this is the type of the confusion that I'm talking about. And so what the book does is it lays out what the heart of being missional is and the four dimensions of a missional church. And it portrays it in essence of what that's what the gospel is. At least that's how I was reading it. So it says the first dimension is love God, worship, and obey. Dimension two is live his mission, serve, and share. Dimension three is love people, embrace, and invite. And dimension four is lead them to follow, equip, and empower. All right, there it's saying here's what you have to do, here's what a congregation has to do. Nowhere did I receive or hear the nature of here's what has been done for you, here's what Christ has done for you. Done for you. And so what becomes confusing then for people is that they would think that, okay, the gospel is Jesus comes and says, I have to do this. And so what happens is Jesus is made into a new lawgiver. And if you're not following this, then the accusation seems to be made that you're not missional, you're not an authentic disciple of Jesus, and then do you really have faith? For us as Lutherans, that is upsetting because the gospel is the free gift of forgiveness given in Christ. And so when there's confusion, Lutherans desire that that confusion be cleared up and clarified.
What we've often discovered here as we've examined these various movements here on Issues Etc. is that where the gospel is present in the theology of these movements, it's often prerequisite. And you mentioned before the break, assumed as something that is kind of past, done, now let's get on to the real business of things.
Right.
Did you find that in the missional movement?
In this particular book, I have, at least that's how I understood it. It was seeming that it was understood. There was an example that was given in the book about repentance. But I wasn't even clear on how that idea of repentance was portrayed. It was, okay, that I did that a long time ago, as if there was the understanding then I no longer need to repent. And since that's been done, now I need to get on to the real business or the real ministry, which, again, for Lutherans is very unsettling because the real ministry begins at the core of repentance or, if you will, the forgiveness of sins. And so it's the repentant life that is the core of the Christian life and not simply just the a life of evangelism. And so, again, that's where Lutherans would differ and where I would significantly differ with this book.
Does this book pit, and I take it, I'm looking through this list of nine essential practices of missional churches, and many of them kind of create dichotomies, be real, not religious, teach to obey rather than to know. It sounds like it is pitting faith or knowledge or spiritual growth against obedience.
Right. And for me, that was also indicative of the critique that it was actually coming out of. It's a critique, those in particular, of the past church growth movement that the missional movement, along with the emergent church movement, is seeking to critique and offer a corrective for. But where Lutherans adopt that and find this to be true would only go so far as they have adopted those previous or other movements. And so that's why it's unfortunate for us if it is ringing true in that sense.
All right, so there's a confusion of law and gospel. Is there any point at which they're not only confused or mixed together, but actually flip-flopped?
Sure. Trying to say the idea, okay, here's what you got to do. If you're going to be missional, here's the points that we're going to lay out, and when you fulfill these, endure these, then you're being missional, then you're fulfilling the gospel and leading forward, fulfilling the Great Commission, as opposed to, again, the clear gospel of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, what Christ has done for you for the forgiveness of sins being declared and being delivered to people for them, the work he has done for them as opposed to the work they have to do for Jesus. So there is, at least in my perspective, this propensity and regular occurrence for the gospel and the law to get flip-flopped from a Lutheran perspective in the book.
Now, this comes back to the title, but it's also, as you say in your review of it, kind of running through the entire book, and that is how the author of this book, shaped by God's heart, understands what God's heart or God's desire actually is. What did we find there?
Well, yeah, he seems to have missed the mark on what makes God's heart beat. Ultimately, the missional movement says God's heart is about reaching the lost. I can see that and recognize that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Certainly we recognize that, and we would include ourselves in that. But the beating heart of God, that's where he missed it. And for me also, you know, I felt he missed the marks of the church. Namely, that justification of the ungodly in the cross of Christ, the forgiveness of sins regularly doled out through word and sacrament. So I found a bit of irony, at least, there when he says shaped by God's heart, and he missed the beating heart of the gospel in there.
What is the view of worship under the missional model?
Again, the view of worship, particularly as portrayed in this, and it can indicate the theological background, is really on human action, on human behavior to give praise, to give adoration, and ultimately to give God glory. So it's all focused, again, on the human-centered behavior, the human-centered action. And so its focus, again, would run by way of law. Now, again, there's nothing wrong. Of course, certainly it's good, right, and salutary that we worship and praise our Creator and Redeemer. But Lutherans understand this distinctly differently than a Baptist or non-denominational, in that we can only do that because of God's gracious actions to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of the gospel that He gives to us, in which Lutheran worship is surrounded around word and sacrament. And so when we receive these gifts, when sins are forgiven, then again, the phrase that I like to use is having received that we've been forgiven and freed, we've been renewed and refreshed, and then discipled so that we can be dispersed back out into our vocations to serve the Lord where we are at, being all those things that we're doing in the vocations, very God-honoring activities, and as we have opportunity then we share the gospel. And for me, that's where the core is at and where it centers at, and very distinct from a Baptist understanding of worship.
Does the missional view of worship, what role, what place does the forgiveness of sins have, if any, in the missional view of worship?
Well, that for me is yet to be clarified. From what I can tell, it's not central. It's, again, perhaps assumed in terms of the whole movement itself, but in terms of worship, I have yet to have someone give me great clarity from the movement itself of this is what it is, and this is where forgiveness of sins is center. Unfortunately, I don't see it being center, and a lot of times I see it as being something peripheral.
Well, and if that's the case, then at least from your analysis of this book and the movement in general, what role do the sacraments, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, have in the missional movement?
Great question. It would be, from my observation, it does not have a role in delivery of the gospel. It would have a role of being in obedience to the gospel, which would be, again, consistent with the Baptist theology, that is, again, giving demonstration of my commitment to the Lord and my affirmation of what I'm going to do for the Lord. And so it has a reversal of how Lutherans would understand it. And even there is no mention of the sacraments in the book, nor the role of what they would play in worship. It, again, emphasizes on the work that the church has to do for God, for His glory.
So with only 1 minute here before our next break, is that what you meant when you said the book misses the marks of the church?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, where the marks of the church for Lutherans have long been the right administration of the gospel and the sacraments. And so where we understand that to be the marks of the church, I feel sadly that he misses the mark. And the movement, therefore, following it will also miss the mark.
Well, folks, that's a red flag already for any Lutheran pastor, Lutheran congregation, Lutheran parishioner. A book that is supposed to be about the church that doesn't talk about what the church is about, which is the preaching of God's word and the administration of the sacraments. A book on the church that doesn't see fit to even mention the marks of the church, that should be a red flag. We're reviewing this book called Shaped by God's Heart and the Missional Movement with Pastor Lucas Woodford. It's Friday afternoon, October the 12th. 10 more minutes with him. Then in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Sarah Pulliam Bailey joins us to talk about media coverage of religion, and Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn joins us to talk about the church versus the parachurch. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300.
Lutheran. It's not a label. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
If you find yourself near the heart of Angelina County, Texas, then God wants you to visit the First Lutheran Church of Lufkin. We are gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear God's word of forgiveness in Christ, crucified for sinners, each Sunday morning beginning at 10:15. Further details and contact information can be found at our website, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a popular book in the missional movement called Shaped by God's Heart, doing a little review. with Pastor Lucas Woodford. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Mayer, Minnesota, author of the book Great Commission, Great Confusion, or Great Confession, The Mission of the Holy Christian Church. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Let's talk about success. Because obviously here there has to be some measure of whether the church is really being missional, and then a measure of whether or not, in general, the missional movement is carrying its own water. What is the measure of success according to this book, Shaped by God's Heart?
Right. For their measure of success, they're really looking at how is the congregation doing in multiplying disciples who make disciples and, if you will, multiplying congregations that beget other congregations. So, again, the measurement is an observable measure of activity that people are doing, and if you are doing this, then you are viewed as successful. Conversely, of course, if you are not, or these marks are not able to be measured, then you are not being missional. You are being what's called, what they would call, a maintenance congregation.
Now, I get the sense, and I've heard this new measure of success being touted by some of the brightest lights in American evangelicalism. Rick Warren has recently said, you know, it's not just growing a congregation. He says it's not numbers, it's multiplication. He's talking about founding new churches.
Right.
But it's still about numbers, isn't it?
Correct. No matter how you want to phrase it or shape it, the emphasis perhaps is changed, again, trying to correct what was seen as a lagging or missing in the church growth movement. But now, again, it seems that they're still measuring by numbers. Again, inherent in that is problematic for Lutherans. Certainly, we desire growth. We simply allow the Lord to grow his church, his congregations, as he will through the faithful administration of word and sacrament. But to try and measure it and declare if you're not doing this, then you are not being an authentic disciple or a missional congregation, and therefore you are not being obedient to the Lord, that's a very dubious business in my estimation.
Well, now you say that while the book warns, Shaped by God's Heart, warns against kind of a spiritual elitism, that is looking down on others who aren't as missional as you. You say in actual practice, and even in the book, that, what shall we say, Christian elitism is there in spades.
Right. What I found disenfranchising in the book was this constant compare and contrast to those that were maintenance churches, those that were labeled as those who are just simply trying to manage the savedness of people, to those that are truly missional. It was sort of what I felt perhaps a backhanded way of saying, well, see, we take missional serious, we take discipleship seriously, and the implication was the rest of people who might be in those maintenance congregations are not this missional paradigm, who haven't adopted this, they don't. So I saw that as very disingenuous by the author, though perhaps he wasn't meaning it, that's how it certainly came across. But also then in practice as well, by those who might use this and employ it, particularly in our own Lutheran circles. Unfortunately, I have also witnessed this. Even though he warns that we don't want to be spiritually elite or above others, this is coming across, and there's tremendous pressure on pastors of who might be considered by this book's label to be maintenance, to be missional. And if their attendance isn't measuring up, or their size of the congregation isn't measuring up, or the activity or the church structure isn't falling in line with the definitions of this missional paradigm, well, then they kind of get a black mark or a list or a check mark next to their name and are treated as, if you will, second rate. And I really think that is unfortunate, and in fact, it's a foreign practice to our understanding of what the mission of the church is and what pastors are to do and what goes on within congregations.
You mentioned here several times kind of restructuring the congregation. In that sense, the missional movement has proven, where it's put into practice, to be somewhat totalitarian. I mean, it really does talk about wholesale redefinition of
right.
a congregation, doesn't it?
Yes. So part of it is, and again, there are some elements, as I mentioned in the post, that potentially could be helpful, because whenever you're dealing with an organization, certainly structures can be tenuous and there can be some difficulties, and you want to make things that would operate in a smooth fashion. But what they're talking about is totally reorganizing the structure of a church, the focus of a church, if you will, the mission of a church, to be entirely emphasized towards this, which is, again, very unfortunate and, again, foreign to our Lutheran theology, but would potentially overlook a tremendous amount of people who would be suffering under the intensity of their sinfulness, the afflictions that they're bearing, and the circumstances of life that would go far beyond, even though they're a believer, that still need to be addressed by a pastor, be given care of souls that, again, this movement, I think, tremendously undermines.
Does the book have anything to say, Shaped by God's Heart, about those who would, when you're trying to implement or execute this missional plan for a congregation, those who resist?
They do it by way of saying, or the author does it by way of saying, this is going to be very difficult. This is going to be tough to implement at times, but you still must continue to press forward with it. And so invite them to get on board, help them to see it, or perhaps then maybe, again, this is the reality of where it is, if they're not on board, then perhaps finding a different place for them. Some of that is implicit, some of that is explicit within the book itself.
So I guess it comes down to two questions for me. Is the missional movement really anything different from the old church growth movement?
Curiously, they are beginning to size up and look very similar, though there's some differences with it. They are, again, if they are based on what both have said they would be, is methodology. They have different methodologies, but ultimately are trying to be measured by the same measurement. And so there's a lot of similarities that are still in them, that are still vestiges still remaining from them, just perhaps the same elements, but a new face on there.
And you mentioned this earlier in our conversation. I'd just like to give you a few minutes to explain it further. Some people would say, well, look, we got to be missional because what's your alternative? That's usually the way that these fads are presented. Here's the fad. Yes, it's not perfect, but what's your alternative? You say there is an alternative. There always has been an alternative, not only to this movement, the missional movement, but to all the other ones that have come along as the silver bullet for the church. What is that alternative?
Well, plain and simple, the short answer would be simply be who we are as Lutherans. To unpack that a little bit is the recognition that our life is based and centered upon the life of Christ, his life for us, and where the book would want to say God wants us to relish in his glory or give him glory, our more understanding would be God wants us to share in his holiness, and so Christ is the one who gives that to us, and that is done for hundreds of years in the Lutheran Church, the oldest Protestant denomination of understanding the mission of the Holy Christian Church, has been done through the administration of word and sacrament, the proclamation, the clear proclamation of the justification of the sinner by Christ and what he has done for us, and then the life that the sinner is freed to live. And the life that the sinner is freed to live is one of the repentant life, where when we struggle with sin or afflicted by sin and Satan's temptations and the things that plague us, we regularly come back to word and sacrament worship, where we are given that forgiveness. Again, the phrase that I like to use is where we are renewed and refreshed, we are forgiven and freed, we are discipled and then dispersed out into our vocations so that we can serve the Lord where he has placed us to be, whether that be, again, as a parent or as a worker or as a community member. And we there serve the Lord in those vocations. And then as we have opportunity, we share the good news of the gospel. And this is what Lutheran theology and practice has held to for hundreds of years. So rather than, in my estimation, grab a hold of what might be deemed a new fad, I think we just simply need a renewal and an invigoration towards understanding what our doctrine is and our practice of it.
Then with only 30 seconds, the term missional, what would you do with it, with about 30 seconds?
Well, for me, I would probably not use it. I would just simply use the mission of God. Unfortunately, I think it is being co-opted and brought into it. So if we are going to use it and the church must use it, we need to be very clear for Lutherans that it is nothing other than being who we have been, an administration of word and sacrament and the furthering of God's kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel.
Pastor Lucas Woodford is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Mayer, Minnesota. He has authored the book Great Commission, Great Confusion, or Great Confession, The Mission of the Holy Christian Church, and he's also written a recent blog post titled, If You're Not Missional. Pastor Woodford, thank you again for being our guest.
Wonderful to have been with you. Thanks for having me again.
This weekend is a great opportunity for you to introduce yourself and anyone else you know to Lutheran Public Radio. LutheranPublicRadio.org is sacred music for the world. It's 24/7, and it's 365 days a year, and it's absolutely free. Now, you can introduce yourself or someone else to Lutheran Public Radio this weekend in a great way. We're going to play on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock Central a Bach cantata, the one appointed for this week, uninterrupted courtesy of Church Music Solutions, the producers of the virtual organist. This week's Bach cantata, Wo soll ich fliehen hin? That is, to where shall I flee? That's this Sunday on LutheranPublicRadio.org at 1 o'clock Central, an uninterrupted Bach cantata, LutheranPublicRadio.org. In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, Sarah Pulliam Bailey of GetReligion.org joins us. We're going to talk about her general thoughts as she leaves Get Religion for a new post in New York City on media coverage of religion. Then, Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn is going to join us. We're going to talk about the church versus the parachurch in hour two of Issues Etc. Any movement that seeks to redefine the church without actually holding to the biblical definition of the church, where God gathers his people around Christ and his forgiveness through his word and sacraments, is a movement, no matter what it calls itself, missional or otherwise, that we can do without. I'm Todd Wilkin, more Issues Etc. after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.